And now, the CEO of the National Biodiesel Board, Joe Job.
Good morning, everybody. Glad to see everybody here. Glad to see anybody here, really. Welcome back to the Independent Republic of Texas. Yeah, the Texans are very proud of the fact that they're the only state that used to be their own country. Didn't really help them in football this year, though. How about them Saints? You know, it occurred to me last night watching the game that the Saints and the Colts have to be like the least menacing team names in the NFL. I mean, who isn't intimidated by the sight of a newborn fuzzy little colt? And the only thing least less intimidating, I think, would be the Saints. It's like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now I want you to get in there and love thy neighbor. Don't forget to turn the other cheek. You know, a number of people have asked me, how is it that your conference got hooked up with the Super Bowl Sunday? And it's kind of an interesting story, so I thought I'd share it with you real briefly. Our very first conference in 2004 was in Palm Springs, and we were locked in to the contract. We had the dates. We were pretty far through the preparation, and somebody decided, oh, my God, it's Super Bowl Sunday. We can't have this. Nobody's going to show up. So we're scrambling around. We're trying to figure out cancellation clauses and rescheduling dates. And finally, somebody just said, hey, why don't we go the other way? We'll promote it. We'll get a sponsor. We'll get great big TVs. We'll feed them beer and hot wings. Everybody will love it. So that's what we did. And we were there in Palm Springs. And at halftime, Tom Verry turns down the volume of the halftime show, gets up in front of the 10-foot television, and he's announcing the results of the golf tournament. And right when Tom announces the winners of the golf tournament, there's this huge enthusiastic reaction. And Tom's sitting there going, wow, I didn't really realize anybody cared about the winners of the golf tournament. Well, it turns out nobody did. They were watching the halftime show behind Tom and the 10-foot screen, and there was Janet Jackson doing her little thing with her wardrobe malfunction. So Tom was a little disappointed there, but we had an overwhelming response that year, and they just said, this was great, Super Bowl Sunday, we ought to do that every year. So that's the story of why it's on Super Bowl Sunday. As many of you may know, I'm a big lover of history, and many of my speeches have some kind of historical theme. Well, this year we're going to focus on a different subject, political science, which often is a complete contradiction in terms. As the folks in the opening video stated very clearly, this last year has been a huge struggle for the industry. With the economic recession, volatile diesel prices, the credit crisis, problems in our export markets, the delayed implementation of the RFS2, even with the tax credit in place, 2009 was really tough. Over the course of the year, I heard several MBB members say, well, you know, the bright side is it can't get any worse. Well, I've learned that it's usually best not to say that, because over the last 39 days, we've seen that it could get worse while we've had neither the tax credit nor the RFS2 in place. The industry has basically shut down, businesses are going under, and jobs are being lost. It's been a bit like watching a train wreck in slow motion. I want to reiterate that our top priority remains getting the tax credit reinstated retroactively, absolutely as quickly as possible. Now, we're in about the best position we can possibly be in to get that done, and soon. Senators Grassley and Baucus, the top tax writers in the Senate, have said that addressing the extenders package that passed the House before Christmas is a top priority. And as we saw in the President's State of the Union address, the focus in Washington has now shifted from health care to jobs and the economy. In fact, there's a good chance that we'll see some positive movement even as soon as this week on a bipartisan jobs package that carries our one-year tax credit extension. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. And things are looking more and more likely that the biodiesel tax incentive will get extended sooner rather than later. However, keep in mind that after we get our one-year extension, we still have to get the next extension so that we're not in a similar position this time next year. And we'll only have a limited amount of time to get that done before election year politics leads to complete gridlock. Now, as I hope everyone is aware, we have companion bills in the House and Senate that call for a five-year extension and restructure to a production excise tax credit. That will focus the incentive on the domestic industry and protect the credit of the integrity of the credit. Now, if we're going to even have a shot at getting this passed this year, we will have to pull together fiercely. We'll need virtually everyone in this room working to make the case for a multi-year extension of a reformed tax incentive and get their senators and congressmen to co-sponsor those bills that will accomplish that. Now, on a positive note, last Wednesday, the EPA published the final rule to the RFS2. Now, while the program is not going to be perfect, the final rule is very good for biodiesel. It took enormous effort to conduct the research, develop the data on biodiesel life cycle carbon impact, and across the board for the entire details of that program. However, we should be proud of the fact that the EPA acknowledged to us that our comments were perhaps the most substantive and impressive comments that they received throughout the entire rulemaking process. And we appreciate that the EPA incorporated much of our data and much of our comments and input into their final analysis. The result is a workable program that will include the majority of our feedstocks and require the blending of 700 million to a billion gallons of biodiesel into the fuel supply this calendar year. Now, while that will be a much-needed boost to the industry, the new compliance rules are very complex, and this is why we've dedicated three sessions on the new RFS2, including one immediately following the general session tomorrow, and then another one tomorrow afternoon, and then a workshop on Wednesday. These are all different sessions, and if you can, I would encourage you to attend all three. Now, we're fortunate to have senior EPA officials planning to come here in person if they're able to get out of Snowmageddon in D.C. But if things clear out or they don't clear out and they're not able to get here, we're trying to make some contingency plans to pipe them in via video conference or some other method. We'll just hope for the best on that. But it's really critical that we make every effort to have a successful implementation of this new program this first year, so that we can demonstrate that the U.S. biodiesel industry is more than capable of providing a billion gallons and beyond to our nation's fuel supply. The RFS allows the EPA administrator to increase the volumes after 2012, so NBB is forming a committee to develop agronomic and economic data to determine the appropriate volumes of the biomass-based diesel category after 2012. Now, in discussions with many of you over the past few weeks and even here in Dallas, multiple times I've heard the following statement. Whatever it is we're doing as an industry, we clearly must not be doing something right. Maybe many of you have heard this statement uttered much over the last few weeks. That's usually followed by a suggestion that we must not be pursuing the right policy objectives and we need to advocate for different policies in Washington to find our way out of the current desert that we're in right now. I'd like to appeal to you for caution on this line of thinking. And I'd like to make the case to you right now why our current policy initiatives are the shortest route back to profitability. In the spring of 2000, a decade ago, in a meeting in Jefferson City, Missouri, it was agreed that we would reach out to all biodiesel stakeholders to launch a campaign to get the first biodiesel tax credit passed. You know, when you have some of those rare moments in your life where something seemingly ordinary happens and it just kind of clicks wow, I think I just experienced something huge here that's going to create a lot of changes. Well, that was one of those moments. And guess what? We did it. It only took us 5 years. And back in 2000, all biodiesel stakeholders primarily meant agriculture. There was only about six companies that were actually producing biodiesel at the time, and mostly as a specialty product. A year into the tax credit, we knew that there needed to be another piece to the policy platform. Because the tax credit was highly effective, but it was not always enough to handle the violent instability that is inherent in the energy markets. In 2006, then Senator Obama reached out to us for ideas on his effort to expand the renewable fuel standard. We knew from experience in dealing with the RFS1 that to make it work for biodiesel, we would need our own category. And we were told by some very influential people at the time that that wasn't going to happen. But with help from our Republican and Democratic allies in the Senate, we proved them wrong. And from 2006 to last Wednesday, it only took us 4 years to make that happen. 2 years to get it passed, and 2 years for the EPA to publish the rules. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a policy-driven industry. No matter what grand strategy we come up with, we still have to get it passed, we still have to get it implemented, and the wheels of government turn very slowly. As you can see, Congress is very easily distracted by shiny things. And sometimes the government is very unreliable as well, as we've just seen over this last month. The government shut itself down five times since 1981. It came close to doing it again this year. For the last 4 years, we've been working to put in place a tax credit combined with a workable RFS, along with some meaningful state policies as a hedge. I would submit to you that we're finally within weeks of achieving that goal. And to abandon that goal now would be a mistake. Also, keep in mind that 4 years ago, we were still the prom queen in Washington before we endured 2 years of attacks on sustainability issues. Now, don't get me wrong. It's good to ponder and discuss bold new federal policy strategies. But realize that what you're doing is long-term planning, not something that's going to impact us this year. It takes time and effort and resources, and it's hard work. And it's absolutely vital that we send a consistent, united message to our champions in Congress. If we constantly change our position and our priorities, we'll pull the rug out from under our friends in Congress and, in turn, ourselves. Arbitrarily backing away from well-established priorities isn't how you get elected officials to stick their necks out for you in the future. But the good news is that we can get this tax credit turned back on. And when we do, we will be where we set out to be 4 years ago. Now is not the time to waver or to turn back or to run. Let's stay together and let's get this done. Let's get this industry back in business. We can do it. Besides potentially doubling our production levels for biodiesel this calendar year, the RFS2 does another very important thing. It establishes very conclusively, under EPA guidelines and federal law, that biodiesel is an advanced biofuel because it meets the criteria and definition of advanced biofuel under the law. Now, the reality behind that is that biodiesel is currently the only advanced biofuel that is commercially available nationwide. Let's be clear what that means. The EPA conducted 2 years of some of the most intensive life cycle analysis ever attempted, and even used some of the most unfavorable assumptions possible for biodiesel, and the net effect of their conclusion is that biodiesel from a diverse variety of feedstocks is the most renewable and sustainable advanced biofuel that currently exists on a commercial scale in the United States. Not only is biodiesel deemed to have the best greenhouse gas reduction score of any fuel that's currently commercially available in the U.S., it has the best energy balance of any commercial scale fuel, and it represents the most feedstock diverse fuel on the planet. As one of my favorite Texans, Walter Brennan, would say, no brag, just fact. As a side note, I have to confess that I looked up Walter Brennan's biography, and very inconveniently, he has no connection whatsoever to Texas. I was devastated to learn that one of my favorite cowboys hails from Massachusetts, which I didn't realize a lot of cowboys hailed from Massachusetts, but on the other hand, not a lot of Republicans hailed from Massachusetts either till a couple weeks ago. Okay, but biodiesel does have a lot of connections to Texas, and in fact, biodiesel has a lot of local champions right here in the great city of Dallas. Let's take a look at some of the folks who are working hard to make biodiesel a meaningful part of their community.